We're finally at the closing perek, which discusses how do we make a mitzora tahor. So we have the same procedure on Tyrus Batim and on Tyrus or the Adam is a mitzora. So Ketzad Mitarinata Mitzora. So first of all, I mean, we've got this very, very strange thing that we do, which is similar to Yom HaKippurim. We have to take two birds and they have to be exactly the same. And one of them is basically Lazazel, so to speak. We throw them out, and the other one is shechted into water. And then we take the live bird before we throw it out together with Eitz Erez and Ezov, Shnitolas, hold them together, dip it into the blood that has been in the water, and then sprinkle it on the house or on the person. So let's go through these step by step. Ketzad mitaharin et hamitzora. So someone brings hayamevi, even though it says hayamevi, it doesn't mean that it had to be a kohen. It doesn't have to be a kohen. But somebody would bring, since we learn out that it says el kli cheres al mayim, that it's makish, the kli, to the mayim. So just like Mayim is always new, lo na'aseh be'melacha, the kli also has to be a new kli. Because of that, hayam mevi, piyali shel cheres chadasha. So again, remember, we bring only kelim that are not mekabel tuma, and it has to be new because we learn that out of the Mayim. V'notein letocha revi'id Mayim chayim, and you have to put in the water because it says beferish Mayim chayim. So we fill it with a revius of Mayim Chaim. And how do we know a revius? Because since it says in the Pasuk that it's supposed to be nikar, it says, V'toval otam b'dama tzipor ha'shkuta u'ba Mayim ha'chayim. So by saying it that way, it means that the dam has to be nikar in the Mayim. And since we're talking about a very small bird over here, as we learn, it has to be a tzipor dror. So then the Chazal were made that a dam of the tzipor dror is nikar in a revius. So we bring a revius, and then we bring a pair of shtei tziporim dror. One of them is shechted over that pioli shocheres, the kli, and he shechts one of them al kli cheres ve'al mayim achayim, and then he digs a hole as a grave for the bird, and he buries the bird in front of the mitzvah himself. The Rambam says this is a halacha l'meshim Sinai. This is not meduyik from the posik, but we know that it's aser b'hanah, and it needs to be buried directly in front of the mitzvah, halacha l'meshim Sinai. Then he would take a eitz erez ve'ezov u'shnitolat. So generally, again, we translate the Ezov as the hyssop. It's not exactly clear particularly what Ezov is, but anyway, he takes the same Ezer as Ezov Shnitolat we have all over. He wraps them with a little bit of extra thread that was there and is made longer in order that there should be enough to make a bundle of all three that were tied. The bird is not tied, but it's held together. The kiflehem, we bring next to that bundle, we bring the roshe agapayim, the rosh hazanav of the second one, the second bird, and then we hold all of that together. So it's four different minim that we hold together. We dip the mixture of the bird and these three minim into the water and the blood that was inside of the kli. And we sprinkle this seven times on the back of the mitzora's hands, and others, taina, it's not. It says, al hamitaher. So the word al means on the part that is above. So the machlokas here is that Tanakama holds that the above is when he would stretch his hand out above his head as far as it could go. The highest part of him would be the back of his hand. But Yesham Rimal Mitzcho, others learn that it means on his forehead, which is when he's just standing, not that he's stretching his hand out, and therefore it should be done on his forehead. This is exactly the same for the Mitzora, as it is on the house. And when it comes to a house, what's considered to be al? What is the uppermost part? The kach hayamazeh al hashkof shebabayit mibachutz. The al, the most visible place to put the dam on a house that had tzaras, would be to place the dam on the mashkof above the door from the outside as you're coming in. Mishnah Beit. Now, we're talking about one of the mitzvahs, as it says, is to be mishaleach v'shilach et hatzipor hachaya el michutz le'ir opnei hasadeh. Now, this is very strange. The mitzorah was not allowed to be in the city, right? So if you're being betaira mitzorah, then how exactly are you going to be throwing the tzipor from the city el pnei hasadeh if you weren't in the city? So obviously, balo, the kohen, had to now come into the city, if we're talking about the mitzorah as opposed to the bayit ha-mitzorah, ha-minugah. So the kohen would come into the city carrying the living bird, l'shaleach v'tzipor ha-chaya. So then, hofeich panav lo layam v'lo la'ir v'lo la'midbar. If he's going to be facing a direction, and this city is a city that faces in one direction, it faces wilderness. In another direction, it faces the sea. And in another direction, it faces towns, small areas around it that are built up. Don't look in that direction. Look towards the sadeh, that is the agricultural area near the city. And it's in that direction that you should throw the bird towards, outside of the wall. Shenema v'shilach et hatzipor ha-chaya michutz la'ir el pnei ha-sadeh. So this means that the Kohen should be looking towards those fields. Now, b'le'galeach et ha-mitzorah, he has to come back because the mitzorah is left behind, because he's still not allowed to come into the city. He is still tameh with tzaras. And if you're talking about an ear that's mukafet choma, so he wouldn't be allowed to come in there. That's why it says ba. So now if he comes back out to Kohen, the next step in the Tiras HaMetzorah is that he needs to have his body shaved completely. And that's part of what the Kohen does. Hevir tar al kol b'soro. Now this is really a little bit misleading, because it is not really al kol b'soro, because what we learn is, remember that it's only mokom kinus sar v'nir'e. So first of all, he does not remove all body hair. He only removes body hair where it's growing thickly. So he would remove pubic hair, yes, but we wouldn't remove hair from his arms or his legs. Furthermore, he wouldn't even remove hair from his underarms, because it's not visible. And visible means visible when you're standing in a simple, like we had before, the stance that Mitzorah stands in for the Kohen to see. So that's the same, we said before, that's the same stance that would be chayev in tiglachat. So the Mishnah doesn't explain that here. So when it says kol b'soro, let's take that with a grain of salt. V'chibez b'gadav, then the Mitzorah has to put his clothes into a mikveh, and be tovel himself in the mikveh. Okay, so that is the first step. And what's his din at that point? He's partially tahar. In what sense? He's tahar milatame bevia. At this point, he's not going to be metame a house. He's metame still by touching, and he's still an avatuma, but areo metame kesheretz. So at this point, even though he's not metame bevia, he is still an avatuma, and he is allowed to go into an ir mukefet choma, and nichnas lifnim min ha-choma, but until the next 7 days, which is the next stage of the Tiras HaMetzorah, minude mi beito shivat yamim v'yasur b'tashmish hamita. So as it says in the posik, v'yashav michutz lo'alor shivat yamim, he has to stay out of his own tent. His tent is ishto. So he is prohibited from having relations with his wife for that time. Shall we try to get in one more? Would you be mochomit to get in one more? Okay. So now on the seventh day, he would then again have to go through the same giluach with the kohen. Megaleach tiglachat shniya ketiglachat rishana. He has to again put his begodim into the mikveh, go himself in the mikveh, and now he's a tvuyom. Now he's no longer metame kesheretz, and areu tvuyom, and the dinner for tvuyom is like any other tvuyom. A tvuyom is allowed to eat meiser, he can eat meiser sheni, but he cannot eat truma, and certainly cannot eat kachim. Now, once the Erev Shemesh, once it's after the sun sets, he's even allowed to eat truma. But since he hasn't brought his karbonis yet, he's a mechuser kippurim. Therefore, he's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed to eat kachim. After the next day, on the eighth day, when he brings his karbonis, then he's even allowed to be oichel kachim, which means that there are three separate stages for taira for mitzera. Now, this is very misleading because we just described four separate stages. Stage one was where he loses tumas bia. Stage two was where he loses his tumas avatuma. Stage three was where he loses his din of tvuyom. And stage four is when he loses his din of mechuser kippurim. So the reason that we're saying there's three taharot by a mitzora, we mean that there are three steps in the taharas hamitzora which are similar to the sholosh taharas b'yoledes, because the yoledes doesn't have that first stage of being metame bevia. So the same three stages, the latter three stages of metame, have where there's the first, in the case of a yoledes, where you have the first 7 days, or the first 14 days, where she's completely metame, bishkavu maisha. Then after those days, she becomes a tfuyom, when she goes into the mikveh. And then at the end of either the 40th day from a zohar or the 80th day of a nekeva, at that time, she's considered to be her, that is her hair of shemesh. So it takes her all of that time. She's a tovulas yom until the night of the 80th day, meaning before the 80th day of the 81st day or the 41st day. And then that day, the 41st day or the 81st day, she can bring her karbonas, and then she was no longer mechuseres kippurim. So it's the same three latter stages, but of course her din of tvuyom is defined not at the end of the day, but at the end of the entire period of the 40 days of her dam toya. So it turns out they have the same three stages. Okay, we'll talk about next Mishnah that there's also three types of giluach, where there were, in the course of history, there were mitzvahs of giluach similar to tzoras, but we'll have to wait till tomorrow for that.